All right, back with week four of the NALCS rundown with the hostess myself, Fly Meets Cat of Stacks Gaming Squad, web developer by day, feeder by night. We got Manders XII over here.
How's it going? I do Salesforce sometimes, and I feed in the support role.
And we have the Storm Surge.
Newly reformed, full packets, we hope, minus Discord problems.
That's a little scary. Thought everything was going downtown again.
Yep. Yeah, but we're
Anyway,
back.
let's get off. Yeah, let's get off to it. We had a interesting week. Interesting week this week. Lots of upsets. Lots of weird stuff going on.
I mean, other than our top two teams right now,
Yeah, well, I mean,
we don't really have anything.
we have a definitive first place with the tiebreaker, but I agree.
I mean, sure, but they get their rematch in next week, actually,
Yeah,
so.
that which will be obviously the game of the week when that rolls around. I found I thought the upsets were interesting, and we could honestly probably talk a while on them, but it's kind of just like one of those things where I wish best of threes were still a thing. I wish they wouldn't change the format, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I mean, TSM got a clutch blowout, or not clutch blowout, let's go with that. A clutch blowout from Clutch Gaming. Not really a blowout, it was a long and methodical eventual upset, but upset nonetheless, in a matchup that they probably should have dominated. That
Yeah,
was
and
interesting.
Optic took it to COG, and I don't know if y'all saw Power of Evil's comments on that game, but hats off to that dude. He literally said that they gave Hoohe Aurelion Soul just to beat Hoohe with Aurelion Soul. And like,
That's amazing.
yeah, he was like, "We planned for this strategy. We knew if we left Soul on the table, Hoohe would lunge at it. We're just gonna, let them win early and let them roam and, just say fuck top lane and then beat them late." And that's literally what they did. And I mean, when I heard the interview, I was like, by God, they're a bunch of geniuses.
Downloaded them completely. That's crazy.
Wow, that's pretty good. I mean, he's probably the best Aurelion Soul player in the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
Like, that's his thing.
maybe if Faker picked it up, then he'd be second best. But like, wow, what a ballsy move.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I'm like, if you told me that before the game, I would have been like, you're fucking insane, but if it works, you're brilliant. And afterwards, it's like, okay, nicely done. They also pulverized Stixxay and Biofrost, who, in my opinion, are having one of the worst splits potentially in the NALCS.
Yeah, I think it definitely wanted to see more from them, just like with Zen and Mythi. You see these duos that have been sort of together forever, kind of getting stomped by some people that get put together, which is interesting for me to see.
Yeah, Stixxay has the second worst KDA in the league. At 2.7, he only is better than, of course, Deathly on Golden Guardians.
Yeah, when Apollo's ahead of you, that's not a good thing.
I mean, to be fair, Apollo's a much better player. I just hate Apollo. Almost irrationally, because when he was with Fujin and he couldn't do anything like 2 or 3 years ago, like he's actually developed into a pro. I don't trust him. But yeah, so and then if you look at support, wow. Jeez. Who is it? Biofrost. Man, supports are not good. He's fifth in KDA this season, or sixth in KDA this season. Tied with Aphromoo in at 2.8. I mean, there aren't any good KDAs in the support role this year.
That's what happens when we don't have mage supports.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we kind of have like we have a definitive top three teams, obviously.
Not after what happened to Team Liquid.
Well, I still think
they dropped two games.
Yeah, I still think they're top three though. They dropped the game to C9 and Echo Fox.
I mean,
yeah, it's that they can't necessarily be held, but they do need to convert on those to actually win, or they'll be looking. They'll be looking to be a meme again this year if they can't beat those guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I think though that what after what happened to Team Liquid this week, kind of like I only watched three matches this week. One of them was the C9 Team Liquid match, which was honestly Cloud9 just dismantling that team.
Yep.
Like it was a stomp. So like watching that happen was just kind of like one of those eye openers. Just like, wow, okay, like that opens up the third spot in for, you know, playoffs this year. Like there's a clear rift between Echo Fox and Cloud9 over Team Liquid, you know, like yeah. they it's okay to lose those games, but it's another thing to just end up getting stomped in those games.
Yeah. Well, and
that's my problem.
You bring up a very good point. You know, if there's a clear rift between one and two, we really have the top two teams, and then a whole bunch of just. Yeah, I hate to say garbage, but everyone else really looked just very lackluster, you know it? I don't know if that's because we've had a lot of European influence and it looks better or what, but, you know, it's interesting.
I think maybe it's a thing where there's the top two teams have clearly figured themselves out, and Team Liquid seems to have done enough to be like a tier below them, and then everybody else is just kind of like figuring their way around. Yep. You know, we have 3-4-4 teams, we have 2-3-5 teams. Heck, Optic Gaming could make a run in the second half. Like, they have a talented team on their hands to like make a run if they wanted to. You know, like maybe they could replace Lemonation and then turn their bot lane into something that's kind of good. And then who knows, you know?
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way I see it. Is like, we could be. I think the top three teams will be in the playoffs, and then like TSM will make it, and then everybody else below there could also make it. You know, except Golden Guardians. Probably not Golden Guardians.
Probably not Golden Guardians.
So
yeah, I do see a lot of potential with everyone. It's going to be a really interesting playoffs, and especially once they switch back to the best of threes, which I'm assuming they'll do for the playoffs.
They'll do best of fives throughout the playoffs.
Best of fives, so. That generally favors the more established teams, but you know, a lot of these teams are new and they made a whole bunch of new pieces and everything. So best of five might actually not necessarily automatically favor a team like TSM or Cloud9, because TSM has a whole bunch of new people. Cloud9 has a bunch of new people. Some of these people, they can get downloaded.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about Echo Fox for a minute, though.
Yeah. They're kind of pissing me off.
Blob motherfucking squad. When are people in the league going to realize that if they don't pick Zach, they need to ban it away from Dardock?
Yeah.
The dude is 5-0 on the champ.
Yeah, I actually did get to watch that game, and he's crazy aggressive with Zach. I mean, it's just...
It's
especially
insane.
Once he gets... Yeah, once he gets to level 9, he has that max rank E. He's just, I mean, he clears camps and then he ganks with when his E's on cooldown.
And, yeah, and it's like, there's just, you know, I was watching an interview with him after the game, and he goes, well, Zach's not really my playstyle. Lee Sin's my playstyle, but I've kind of gotten to the point to now where it's like, okay, I'm Zach, I'm big and tanky. I'm going in, my team better follow.
Yeah. And with that sort of just forced participation, and it's just crazy.
It's
by far the highest KDA of any jungler, 8.3, whereas X-Smith is the second most with 5.3.
Yeah.
There's an even sharper fall off after that.
Which is crazy. Just,
Yeah, he is absolutely ridiculous with that champion.
Because I feel like Echo Fox's mid lane is decent. I feel like their bot lane is a tad weak, but with Bardock doing as well as he is in the jungle, it's made up for everything. I mean,
Yeah,
he right now is the MVP to me thus far on the split.
he's mostly just carrying from the jungle on his signature champions, and there's nothing that anyone can currently do about it until they decide to actually target ban him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
when Rick Fox in an interview is going "Blob Squad, baby," it's just like, all right, yep, this is an issue now that needs to be addressed.
It'll be
Yeah.
interesting to see if he can, if you know, he can start to, react to that. Like that might even open up Fox in general. If teams have to ban his Zac, if teams have to ban Dardock's Lee Sin, like all of a sudden that's another pick that you get, you know. And I mean, Phoenix has been having a good season.
It's very Hui-esque to me because you saw it a little bit last year when all of a sudden out of nowhere Hui brought out the damn Vel'Koz and people were like, oh, this is nothing. And then they rattled off like five straight wins on Vel'Koz and it was like, okay, well now we need to ban two champions.
Yeah. 'Cause like yeah, I mean the thing is yeah, Huni has the best KDA on Fox, and like I would consider him a bigger carry, a secondary carry than like anyone else. Like even though Phoenix has been having a great season, I would still consider Huni a bigger thing, but like
Oh, it's
stat
always
wise, man,
Hooney time.
top laners this year have been friggin' bad, man. Like
It's been rough for him with a whole lot of carry top laners now. They're easier to kill. Gangplank is known to be abused early on the game, even with his ability to cleanse CC. And
yeah.
it's just when you have something like that, it makes them a lot more vulnerable. You got the Camilles and the lockdown and whatnot. So yeah, I mean, even Haunter, who's been praised, is you look at their KDAs, and man, the KDAs, I mean, the top laners, or most of the top laners, are pushing towards 20 deaths, with a
Yeah.
few of them breaking over it, including Huni and Haunter themselves, even despite their actual stellar performances. Otherwise, it's just the top lane is no longer an island. They've rejoined society. They've been reached out to. The embargo is over. Junglers and mid laners are returning the top lane to claim that gold from them and tax
Well,
them like they rightfully should have.
so I have a theory
Welcome
on
back,
this,
guys.
on why top lane's kind of doing shitty right now. They're one of the only lanes, unless you're going Vlad, that's really not running Unsealed Spellbook. And so you don't have as much hourglass action up there. And so the jungle keeps going up there, and mid lane does because they know they can get kills off and get kill pressure up there. And it's just turned it
Yeah.
into a raving shit show because of that.
Yeah, it's true. That's
Yeah.
true. I don't know if you all saw Scar's tweet this week, but he was like, this is the worst the meta has been ever in the history of this game right now.
It's a really bad meta because it is so boring. This is the most boring meta I've ever seen. Like I found myself like I watched the I tried watching the Golden Guardian win over 100 Thieves, and like I got through like 40 per I got through like 40 minutes of it, but it was a 45 plus minute match,
Yeah.
and I was just bored to tears. Nothing was happening in the game. There were no good plays being made. Captain Flowers was the announcer. That's not a meta thing, but like I've never actually listened to a game he cast before until that one, because I usually just mute him.
It's awful.
But I was hungover, and I had to listen to something to try to stay awake. And like the number of non sequiturs this dude just drops, like, dang, man, you know?
I think it was
And there's
Jared.
a friggin' bat. Like, what are you talking about?
I think it was
Like,
Jared who I
you.
told. I was like, Captain Flowers is just someone I want to punch in the face. He just has the most punchable looking face out of anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he does
it's.
have one of those. But what's funny is, like, I'm listening to other casters, and they're like, This guy is just so respectable. Because they always are basically like, man, he complains about stuff all the time. And it's like, well, guys, why are you talking about him? Y'all need to shun him. Y'all need to just accept that he shouldn't be there. Like, yeah, it's like y'all need to know he's bad.
You're a Skarner main. Get the fuck out of here, man.
There was a Skarner pickup, and it was pretty exciting. That was,
yeah, because Cloud9 won with it.
Yep.
Yeah, it had to be the highlight of the week because there was not much else. Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you about the meta. And I mean, I guess Riot, with some past implementations, they've been trying to actually streamline the game to force games to end quicker. But, I mean, the pros are pros, and the pros are going to do their best to min-max it in. They're all going to end up one six-item team fight. And
yeah,
when you pick Ezreal to that, don't expect to win against the Kog'Maw.
Well, and I feel like, too, the game is so groomed at that level. It's like, you know, down at RELO, you don't get games like that. You get people doing...
I mean...
Well, if we see, they're generally bloodbaths. So, you know, right. We don't really see, like...
We don't see,
you know,
a
20-minute
first
games
blood.
With...
So, I don't necessarily agree with it, because it's not like all of a sudden the games just got really long all of a sudden, like the past, like last year. Like, it hasn't been ramping up to that. Like, the new runes have completely shifted the freaking game. Like they're good. They've always been good. But, like, we had, like, a max game of maybe 60 minutes, and it was like, okay. We have multiple 60-minute games this year. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. So, I guess they are just, like, exploiting that better. I mean, like, the friggin' stopwatch has helped a ton with that. Because all of a sudden, it's like, well, I can't finish a kill now.
Yeah, I mean, there was a game where Sivir had 1,400 CS this season. Like, I'm sorry, what?
Right. When you have a 95-minute game, your meta's broken.
Yeah.
Like, especially if it's not multiple matches within a game, right. You know? It's like, it'd be one thing if that was a best... Well, that was a best of three, because it was Korea.
Yeah,
it was a best of three. That means that it lasted as long as a friggin' football game, okay? That's awful. I don't want to watch a football game for 3 hours, 3+ hours. You know, I'd love to watch one for three. I'd like to watch one for 60 minutes, actually, but I'll never get that.
XFL coming soon.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to go great. but yeah, it's like, it's kind of hard to watch right now.
The whole meta, just the safeness of the meta makes people play things like Ryze, because you need to be able to push plays to their maximum and teleport halfway across the map. Otherwise, you have no chance of killing anyone.
Yeah,
and that's just like, we don't see the 2v2 outplays in bot lane anymore. We don't see dives being pulled off top lane. No more 4-man dives top lane where the top laner knows he's going to miss out on 25 CS and lose his tower and be gimped for the rest of the game.
Like, look at Kleptomancy, man. Like, all of a sudden, you can play Ezreal because it's so easy for him to get extra gold and stuff.
Yep.
And then he builds this really cheap build that's not particularly strong, you know? And it's just like, Ezreal gets to play safe. Usually, you'd make that sort of choice because, like, Ezreal can play safe and he's not going to get a huge gold lead because of some bullshit. He's gonna be safe, and then you'll be able to, like carry him through other means because he didn't feed, you know. But now it's like, you pick him because he's got an inherent advantage to what he's doing. So, you know, I don't know, nerf Kleptomancy, but I really like Kleptomancy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of weird. I don't know what to do. I'm not a balancing person.
Yeah, I mean, once stuff like that happens, I always feel like, I guess the Kog nerfs that are coming through will help try to alleviate that, but it's not necessarily going to stop Ezreal and the rest of the AD carries. I mean, we see Kalista, Ezreal, and Kog'Maw almost 100% of the time, and we see
Varus,
Varus
appears too sometimes.
Yeah, Varus appears too, but we don't see Jinx, we don't see Caitlyn, no Dravens. Draven actually only appeared in pro play when the rest of the AD carries were terrible, but, you know, it's just, they're not rewarded for actually picking something like a Caitlyn most of the time and actually being aggressive in lane and pressing objectives. They're not rewarded for it, and it's become so stagnant that people are going to wait for their Kog'Maw to get six items before even trying to do anything, and if they can stay safe and not feed, they'll eventually win.
Yep. think that's very accurate.
Now, I'm going to take a moment. This will be our Korea moment. How's Faker doing? That's what we need to know, guys.
I believe Man, they won we really this do. Past weekend.
They are 3-5.
They're not good.
They are sixth place.
I'm loving
their,
it for Hooney.
In their thing.
For my boy Hooney. I'm loving it for him because they kind of shafted him.
They did. They did shaft him. But, you know,
I would find it the ultimate irony if at MSI that Hooney is there and SKT is not. And that is really what I'm praying for at this point.
I mean, I would actually pray for a little bit longer, further down the line one, which is Hooney makes Worlds and yep. Faker doesn't.
I agree. But the reason I say that is because Hooney in an interview said, I really would like to see my former team at MSI. So, short-term
goal.
Yeah,
Short-term goal. Yeah, I think the better poetic justice would be to have Hooney actually beat SKT, yep. since we know that they're not invincible anymore. But what I predict will happen is that Faker will pull out another buzzer beater performance, and the rest of SKT T1 will go back to the locker room and not have a job similar to what just happened to the Cavaliers.
So let me tell you something about this guy, okay? I'm looking at the stats here for Faker, okay? He's got the most kills. Oh, no, he doesn't. Wait, oh, yes, he does. Sorry, he has the most kills on mids. He has the most assists on mids. He has the highest kill participation. He has fourth best CS, but here's the thing. He has the most CS. He's played 902 minutes this split, which is more than anyone else. And he's tied for the most games. Like, this dude is still playing at a really high friggin' level.
He's still Faker. He's still Faker.
He's got a ton of deaths. But I mean, he's trying to carry. This is kind of like one of those, oh wow, look, this is LeBron and this is what he does. And it's still not good enough because I don't even know who's on SKT's team.
It's very similar to me to a 2009 Cleveland team, right? It was going to be...
So basically Mo Williams is their best player. Got it.
It's going to be Cleveland versus LA, so to speak, in the finals. And then, here come the Orlando Magic out of nowhere. You know, one person doesn't get you to the finals, unfortunately. At least not in team sports.
Yeah. I mean, that's what LeBron did. Once, I think.
Let me rephrase. And win.
Yeah. I mean...
The one time LeBron did get him there, they got swept by them San Antonio Spurs and Greg Popovich.
That is true. That is very true. You don't beat a strong team like that. But, yeah. I don't know any of these players except maybe Bang and Wolf. Yeah, I don't know who Antara is. Blank, I think, is familiar.
Oh, yeah, I know Blank.
I think he was a sub last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this Antara guy, I've never heard him. Or of him. That's good. And if I go and click on somebody, will I see their past stats? Is the LoL Esports website is it actually up to date?
It should be.
No. I mean, not up to date as in like that, but like, can I click on a stats thing on a player's page and see? Oh, hey.
Now that my friend, is a question you might have to.
Like ESPN. Well, I just proved it, and they are not like. ESPN at all.
Blah, blah, blah.
Like I really wanted to look at like, you know, where did this guy play over the seasons and stuff like that. And you don't have it. So rip. Anyway. Yeah. So SKT. They're not doing great, but you know, who cares really? They're gonna beat us anyway.
So yeah. All right. You know, we're going to head to next week.
Yeah, next week coming up. Looks like...
will they be on 8.3 next week?
They will be on 8.3
okay,
next
so
week.
So Rise probably will not have high priority then.
Yeah, since there's no more stopwatch cheese, he may still get high priority. His ult itself is still powerful.
Still
and it's one of those... Yeah, still one of those excessively, you know... When used properly, it looks overtuned. When used poorly, it looks like it needs a massive buff or rework again.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, he'll probably still be there. He'll just not be as safe as he once was. But looking at this, looks like a pretty good lineup. I feel like. Wait a second, Glitch Gaming plays TSM again.
Ooh.
Yep.
So
yeah, they start next week. Next week they start the. Everybody would play everybody once.
Yeah,
so they will. Yeah, I mean, next week we have the, like, TSM plays Cloud9. That should be a fun
one.
Fun.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Optic Gaming, Golden Guardians, one of those is going to pad their win column. that'll be interesting. I always like seeing who's going to be the worst team in the league too.
Yep.
Then we got the Cloud9 Echo Fox rematch.
A big good game.
And then it's going to be rematches all the way through. That's interesting. This is actually the Clutch Gaming TSM one. Like that's an interesting game to look at. If only because like. They just played.
Yep.
Yeah, and TSM just
so what's gonna happen? Like, I'm pretty sure TSM wins the rematch.
Yeah, generally
after
TSM
having just beat them, but
here's the thing season, Law of Bjergsen. Till you beat him twice, I ain't buying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, interesting. Piglet apparently plays in the Clutch Gaming organization.
Oh, well.
Yeah, he's a sub.
I have some
behind Apollo.
I have some unrelated breaking news. Sean White has won gold in the Super Pipe once again.
Oh,
that's nice. Great.
So
we were just listening to a clip of him.
Shout out to Team USA there.
Mountain Dew, baby.
Boy scored a...
Mountain Dew, baby.
Boy scored a 97.75 on his final run.
Not sure
I assume that that's good.
Out of 100. That's very good.
Oh. Almost perfect. Well.
Well, well.
Yeah,
good for... speaking of the Olympics, I was hearing... Somebody was trying to make a push for esports to be included in the Olympics.
Yeah,
somebody
there's been
was.
Some buzz. There has been buzz around for esports to be included in the Olympics. I'm not sure how likely that's going to be. I mean,
pretty low.
Yeah, eventually, I think the organizations themselves will end up having to make some sort of adjustments and changes because, and especially with the Korean teams and the Chinese teams, with the way that the players are treated. The IOC may not necessarily go for that unless they make some widespread changes.
Like what?
Treat their players better.
Yeah.
Like how? Yeah. I don't actually have a lot of insight into how
China
players in other cultures get treated.
Yeah, China in general is like the worst since there's just a lot of instances where players have been completely shafted out of money and. You know, end up poor and can't really compete. And they get blackballed because the organizations don't want them anymore. And the managers just have way too much control. And the players just aren't necessarily free to play like they should be.
That's pretty terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely a possibility and definitely plausible, I feel like.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it'll take time, but I definitely think it has potential to be there.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the 2028 Summer Olympics. where Team USA gets just absolutely stomped by Korea in the group stage, eliminating us.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, no,
so excited.
But once that happens, maybe America will put a little more focus on it, since we hate losing on the global.
One
global can dream. Stage.
What a naive assumption that America would care. Like, okay, so here's an example of how much America cares about international sports. So, recently, the president of the United States Soccer Federation Association, whatever its official name is, he stepped down. So they needed a replacement. So they chose this guy who had been the vice president under the president for decades. And he promised that he would make changes to the system. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't trust a guy who had been working under this other guy who, you gotta remember, he overlooked us missing the World Cup for the first time in like 5 or 6 World Cups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like...
We also might be getting a little off track here.
Well, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not going to trust American international organizations for sports to ever get anything right.
I agree with you.
They don't get basketball right. The only reason why we get basketball right is because we have the best league in the world. You know, if we had the best soccer league in the world, we'd be up there. But the thing is, soccer leagues around the world are better organized than, say, the NBA is. But we still just have the best league because we can throw money at players, you know, better than, like, say, the MLS can throw money at players. So I would not expect anything from the United States, any sort of board in the United States, to make a good decision about international sports properly. I mean, look at Riot. They basically shafted their own region with the changes they made because they weren't getting viewership.
True, true, true.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Alright, looks like we're starting to
spiral.
Hit our limit.
Yeah. But we don't have anything else to say. Mardi Gras.
Except Mardi Gras war on us. I'll just say I'm ready for that Echo Fox Cloud 9 game. That would be a beautiful thing to see. But
yep, I'm excited for that too.
Yeah.
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 But yeah.
Other than that, guys,
I think that's about it. I also think I recorded this as an FLV, so that'll be fun.
Oh, great.
But we'll get to that when we get to that. So,
yeah.
See y'all back here next week, same time, same place.
Same time, same place, actually.
Give or take.
A little earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give or take.
All right. Take care, guys. Goodbye.
Yeah, take care.
Later, crew.